A beautiful Wednesday evening right here in Lagos, Nigeria, and my name is Guinevere. I'm the host, and welcome to Abroad is Concerned interview with Patricia. Guess what, guys? She's an amazing person in the house. She has beautiful interests that we would like to explore. All of you that go to Lagos beaches and you see horses and you pay to ride and you take pictures, we have one in here. She doesn't just take pictures about him. She rides and she can teach you too. But
Thank
that's
you.
just digressing. How you doing today, Patricia?
I'm very well, thank you very much. I'm actually dialing in from the Netherlands, enjoying the Dutch summer, so don't mind me with my jumper. But yes,
It's
I'm happy to
okay.
be here. Thank you so much for considering me for this interview.
My pleasure. We're happy to have you here and we want to pick your brain a little bit because, guys, Patricia is an expert communicator and she is an expert in the podcast. How long have you been in the podcast industry, if you don't mind me asking?
So I should be making 6 years now. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's a 6-year-old child is a grown-up
Yeah.
child.
Yeah.
Really? That's a
That is
good
so
one.
true.
And she's also a strategist, and that's what we'll be talking about today. So we have a lot of African podcasters, people who are coming into the industry, people who have been there and getting it wrong consistently, and people who are getting it right. And amongst the people getting the podcast industry right, they have three things in common. They have mastered the art of engaging their audience, they have mastered the art of communication, and they have also mastered their strategies in getting what they have out there. And that's what we're talking about today. How do we build our relationship with audience, and what's the best strategy for us when having to get on our podcast? So you have a beautiful piece, a beautiful content. How do you put it out there? How do you make people want to hear you? And that's what Patricia will be helping us with today. So the first question we would have is let's paint a scenario, guys. We have an 18-year-old, a 20-year-old, and a 30-year-old coming together to build a podcast content. They are all done. The content is top-notch, produced properly. And now we are giving Patricia, who is a top strategist, she's going to walk us through how she's going to advise this group of persons with different age demographic, and they are talking about social issues. How would she give a strategy on them, sorry, to reach out to an audience and to get their content out there? The floor is yours, Patricia.
Yeah, thank you so much, Gwen. I feel like you've given me a lot of I hope I live up to the expectation. But maybe just for the listener of different ages, just to give you a little bit of background, Gwen, you did a good job to introduce me. I'm Aggie Patricia Turomwe, and I have been podcasting for close to 6 years now. I also coordinate the Podcast Association in Uganda. So the podcast community, we normally celebrate or commemorate the podcast days, which are Podcast Africa Podcast Day and International Podcast Day. So we get together on those days, talk about podcasting, the trends and everything about podcasting. I also host a podcast, a personal podcast, called the Podcast on Uganda. It's pretty much about achieving a middle class economy. So we bring on people who we think are influencers in their sectors to talk about those sectors and how Uganda will achieve that middle class economy. So I've actually
Amazing.
got an opportunity to speak with different media houses here in Uganda because, as you might realize, also media houses want to have podcasts. So I've had the opportunity to advise them on still podcast strategy. So I hope that I can share a few things or two on how best you can get your podcast out there. So
And we can't wait.
we talked about three demographics, right?
Yes.
I think all the demographics need to know a few things. Before you actually get your content out there, you need to know very well, you need to be very sure on what the goal of your podcast is, what your name means, how original is your idea, what is your actual purpose of the podcast? Because regardless of the demographics, your audience will be very specific on those things. So if you know those things, you're then able to determine who your audience is. When I started out 6 years ago, I pretty much didn't know who my audience would be. Along the way, you see the stats or the data from the podcast that it gives you exactly who is listening, where they're from, who they are, and then you get to know who exactly your audience is. So without knowing who your audience is, unfortunately, you might spread your or you might spread your podcast message to everybody and anybody who doesn't want to listen. So you might want to break down the persona, right? So if, for example, Gwen, give me an example of the 20-year-old. What kind of genre would they be?
They're the Gen Z, hippie,
happy. Yeah, the Gen Z. Yeah. So let's see for the 20-year-old. Let's say you want to talk about your passion in music. So think about who will listen to your podcast. At what point do they listen in? When do they listen in? What do they do in their normal life? For example, from 8 to 5, what do they do along that way that you can easily, or they can easily interface with your podcast content? So it's very important that you think about the journey of your podcast listener and think of when best to then approach them while they're going through their normal day. Because if you think about podcasts, they're going to listen while they're doing their chores, while they're cooking, while they're on commute to school, if they are, think about all those different touch points of your content from your audience's perspective. So I would definitely think about that first, and that is under the concept. Then in terms of branding, yes, you have all your content, but have you thought about, you know, just the cover art? Does it represent what the content is? Do you want to have spin-off activities from just the audio? So do you want to have live events? Do you want to have, say, merchandise on top of that? The branding itself, especially for people today, if you're setting out your podcast today, you're kind of up listeners are going to give you a run for the money, because today people know exactly what good content is, what good podcast content is. We had chances to mess around, but people today, you will waste their time and they will not come back. So if you know that you're going to be podcasting or releasing episodes every week, well and good, keep up to that. Measure the time, the amount of time you produce a podcast, and then live up to that standard, so that if you're sick, away on sick leave, or you have COVID, or you have malaria, you still have something in the pipeline to go out as of when you're not available. And I can imagine most people are doing podcasts just by themselves. So you need to consider that. You need to consider the language. How do you want people to perceive you? Our podcast is a business podcast, right? So you are going to talk everything business. If it's a musical podcast, then give us all the, you know, genres in music, all the names, well and good. I hope it's very entertaining because it's music, right? And then think of all those things in terms of branding. Think about the things that will keep your listeners wanting to come back, right? And like we said, the podcast audiences are very hooked, and they rely more on the information that has been shared by the podcast host as opposed to other channels, because their stats from, I don't know which source it was, but it could have been Edison Research. I'm not sure, but I need to check. They say that podcast listeners prefer or don't find adverts or information given out freely on other brands as compared to other platforms like YouTube or TV or radio. So people still have a bit of trust in podcasters. So I would think about branding as well. I'd think about the format of your podcast. What is it like? Is it in seasons? Is it just a series, or it's a one-off? So that you're then able to plan ahead of time. Like we said, if you're away on sick leave, but also for you to plan in terms of resources. If you have just, say, 100,000 shillings, Ugandan shillings, to produce an episode, you know how much you need to produce a season of, say, 10 episodes. And then that helps you also to plan for the next. Then, I think what people really undermine are the roles that are involved in podcast production. There are different roles. Most of us, you know, wear all the hats at the same time. So you produce the content, you edit it, you write the script, you release, you distribute, you promote, just one person. So I feel like creatives in the podcast space have a network of graphics designers, audio editors, sound editors. Pick up on those relationships and make sure you have enough hands on deck to actually help you produce your podcast to avoid a burnout. So with that, I think if you have the branding right, your concept right, then think about, in PR, there's something we call the story angle. So you need to know what you're going to be selling in terms of what is your story. Yeah. If it's music, yes. If today you're talking about one genre, pick up on another genre next time so that you kind of gauge what story is really interesting for the audiences. Mm-hmm. If you're really stuck onto one genre, say hip hop, and people are interested in R&B, you'll never know if people really wanted to hear about something else because you're stuck on hip hop. So there are different story angles. Think about the different sectors or your different topics. Think about different things that your audiences would want to listen to, especially if you're a new podcaster. If you're just getting into podcasting, podcast stats are amazing. They'll show you exactly what you need to know for you to be able to make better decisions based on that data. Then I would also think of partnering, collaborations. They should be huge. We need to leverage those more, especially if you don't have big budgets, if you don't have state-of-the-art studios. I facilitate different masterclasses, and I find myself in universities where the kids have state-of-the-art studios to record, and that's a luxury that these children have. Right. So if you have that in school, if you have a friend or know somebody who can get you this equipment cheaper, leverage that, because you need to focus more on what you can be better at, as opposed to being everything at the same time. Then I would pretty much advocate for AI tools, because they have definitely made our lives much more easier. When we started out, we didn't have the option that people today have in terms of, you know, all these resources at their convenience. So think of any task you have to do along your podcast production journey. There's a tool for it. There's technology that's meant to help you. So I'd pretty much advocate for that. Please, please, please leverage technology. So you already have your audio, you already have your tape. Have a calendar, I think. Find the right timing for you to produce or release. Sorry, we've already produced, right? We're now talking about releasing. Find a calendar that's going to work for you. I can imagine most of us have 8 to 5 or 9 to 5 jobs. And this podcast production is more like a 9 to 10 job, or 5 to 10, or 8 to 10. So most people do this on the side. So you really need to think of when your mind is best channeled or ready to produce, or when it's really sharp enough to give you the best content for your podcast. And then you're able then to deliver the right content that people will want to listen to. So I think at the end of the day, when you do have to publish your content, you need to think about the different hosting platforms. We are lucky we have Afrocentric podcast hosting platforms like AfriPods, there's Afro Mobile here in Uganda. There's quite a number of them. Look at all of them, I think, have free or trial days, like 14 trial days. So think of Podbean, think of Spotify for podcasters, or Buzzsprout, Libsyn. Go check them out. See how easy they are, user-friendly their interfaces are for you to be able to, choose which one you like most, because I had that liberty. I had to do that. I tried Libsyn at first, and then did Buzzsprout, and then some other podcasts we host are on both Spotify for podcasters and Buzzsprout. So you need to see what works for you. Others might recommend this, but this the other might work better. And then the legality of things, you need to think of the contracts you sign. We have people interested in podcasting now, and they keep on, letting us know about what the agreement would be, but you need to read some clauses and be careful. Some agreements ask for exclusivity of the content. If you're just starting out, you might think, yeah, why do I need exclusivity of my content? So it's up to you to really think of what you want for your content and your podcast, and then just general regional guidelines on, say, data usage, because we operate on the digital space. So you might as well have it in mind that, yeah, what you put out there might have an implication, a legal implication on you someday, somewhere. Somehow. So that is what I would advise for now, but I'm happy to advise more going forward.
And that is an amazing expose you just gave right there. And they've gotten it, they've done the branding, they've targeted the audience, meaning creating the niche they're trying to focus on, what their audience can do and not do. Now, how do they build a relationship with that audience that they have identified for their podcast? How do they continuously feed that relationship to make them wanting to come more and become loyal fans and build from that? Yeah, I'll let you talk on that for a bit.
Yeah, that's great. So I think once you have known what exactly it is you want, then it's easy for your audience to relate with you. So for podcasts, you understand that people go intentionally to look for a topic on something. So if they find you and you're giving them the right information, then it's very easy for you to build trust based on the content you're sharing with them. Unfortunately, before, we didn't have the room to relate with our podcast listeners. Today, we are very lucky because on, say, Spotify for podcasters and Buzzsprout, you can send a voice note after listening to the podcast, but it's not in real time. I think a few months from now, days, maybe it's already happening that you'll have people text you right away from the podcast apps straight to the host. So probably that would help in building a better relationship. Otherwise, if you look at the different social media platforms that the content is distributed to for people to then go onto the podcast hosting platforms or podcast distribution platforms, most of these social media platforms do not advocate for their users to go off the app to go somewhere else. So until we have our own interface where we can directly, the hosts of the podcast or producers of the podcast can directly communicate to the listeners of the podcast, then relationships will be built. We've seen a few people build communities on social media, for example, Facebook, even Instagram now has a community, WhatsApp also has communities. So I think for me, it's with the content. If you're offering value to your listeners, they will always come back, and that's that there a relationship will be built, because people will always say, oh, I listened to this episode, thank you so much for this topic, that topic on that report was amazing. You hear people tell you, oh, sorry, we didn't hear from you 2 weeks ago, is everything okay? Because they are subscribed. The beauty about podcast listeners, most of these are subscribed once they listen, that they keep receiving all the episodes once you release them. So all the episodes will be downloaded to their podcast apps when our podcast has been released. So I think the first things first, work on your content. Work on your content. The content will attract the different audiences it's meant to attract.
I think new podcasters or podcasters who are starting out today are lucky to have a myriad of podcast tools, or just AI tools, AI powered tools, or software that are powered with AI in every task you have to do: recording, editing, scripting, transcribing. Yes. Everything you think about, every task you think about has a tool and software for it. So please leverage that. When we started out, we didn't have the luxury of this. We did everything from scratch. But today you can afford consistency because there's a lot of tools. So please leverage that.
And so let me butt in quickly. What tool would you recommend that we use in engaging the audiences, apart from the ones the platforms are given or providing? Yeah. How do they make it personal, or if they want to make it personal with their audiences?
Yeah. I'm not sure if we called this, but the different tools, the different social media platforms today, people can use to create community and relate with their audiences better are social media. However, this social media platform's algorithm does not promote its users to leave the platforms they're using. So if you send a link of your podcast link, say of your newly released episode on Facebook, Facebook does not encourage that. Their user goes off Facebook and then goes to Apple Podcasts. No, they don't want that. So until we actually have our own platforms, say if Spotify for podcasters or Buzzsprout itself accepts to innovate around direct communication of the listener to the host or the producers, we will then have a much more seamless relationship with our listeners. But until today, there's an email I was reading about the same issue. Podcast listeners do not know, or podcast hosts do not really know who the listeners are. They see the downloads or the numbers going up or down, but we don't know who these people really are. Until we put a face to the downloads, then we'll be able to relate and build that kind of relationship you're talking about. Yeah.
That's amazing, because knowing the audience that you're feeding can also help you in the marketing side to know who you should approach, who you should speak with, and things like that. Absolutely. That's a great space, or a space right now in the industry that can be filled with brilliant minds. Yeah. And having said that, some persons can go on to your social media platforms and say, oh, I follow this podcast and I follow them on social media, and then tweet it to you some feedbacks from the previous podcasting episodes you've done or something. So, and those feedbacks sometimes are not necessarily positive.
Yeah.
And we also have trolls who just come to binge on your energy and sap it out with every negative talk they can ever think of.
Yeah.
So what would be your strategy in helping a podcaster navigate criticism and trolls and negative feedbacks from their audience, and also from people who are just maybe not necessarily their audience, but you just clicked on it and like, why would you talk about this?
Yeah.
And especially now, everybody's extra sensitive. Everybody in the world has their opinion, have what the feel is. It's crazy. Well, I want to hear your strategy, how to manage that.
I mean, the beauty about podcasts as of today is that they're still very free. There's freedom of speech over there. And the freedom also is with the choice to listen. So if you do not want to listen to a specific podcast, then yeah, people easily don't subscribe or just skip to the next episode. So to the podcaster, I really encourage you to be strong and just know what it is you want. All these trolls can be a distraction to what, you know, the dream is. If you really want to focus, say, on mental health or some really new genre that people haven't, or a topic that
explored,
people haven't really explored, stick to it. At the end of the day, you're going to be the authority or the industry expert of that topic. So I really encourage you to stick to creating your content, stick to the vision. If you know exactly, like we spoke about earlier in the podcast, if you know what your concept is, what your the purpose of creating your content, the impact you want to impart on your listeners, if you have those at mind, all the other things are distraction.
Fantastic. I really appreciate that. And especially when we don't necessarily know how to sieve out the noise from the actual substance. So sometimes some good advice can be wrapped in negative comments. So whenever you read a negative comment, don't make it personal.
Yeah.
So your craft is different from you, your opinion. From what this new age has taught me, people's perceptions and opinion are not necessarily who they are.
Yeah.
Some persons can just jump online and join the bandwagon and the bandwagon of different ideologies. But if you know these people physically, they might not actually have or imbibe those things they say. So how do we learn how to differentiate people who are actually given a right advice, maybe not presenting it properly to be received, but they are actually giving you advice in a very harsh, blunt way that is critical to your work and maybe demotivating as well?
I mean,
what's going to be your strategy in handling such?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I really take in advice, depending on, it doesn't even matter from who it comes, but it needs to be aligned to your vision. It really needs to be aligned to what you intend to achieve. Is it within your purpose? Is it within your impact you set out at the start or the planning of your podcast process? Because everybody's going to have an opinion, but if you think that feedback is really going to help you grow to achieve what you set out to do, then please take it on. If not, then don't, because everybody who doesn't drive a car is going to tell the other person how to drive better. Or look at how football spectators are. They'll say exactly what the person should be doing as opposed to them doing it themselves. So I think you need to know what you want to do. And yeah, sometimes you might get a little confused. I mean, I've gotten feedback on, say, audio quality, video quality. At that point in time, that is what I could do. But I think for me, the focus has always been on the content, because that I personally do. The rest of the things I could outsource. And when the time is right, I will definitely get those, you know, experts to work on that specific task. But I think overall is the content. The content needs to be exactly what your audiences need to listen to. If it diverts away, then you're going to lose some and keep some. So I think the main thing would be for you to know exactly what the goal of your podcast is. And then along the way, if you meet a few people who want to advise and you know, help you improve, then take it on if it does support your purpose.
That's amazing. That's brilliant. And based on what you just said, brings me to the question of all the dilemma some podcasters do have. Basically, as from your experience as a strategist and a communicator and 6 years in podcasting, How would you handle a situation where you're trying to stay authentic to the goal you started with, or stay authentic to the audience that you now have? Because should the podcaster create the content based on their vision, or should they create the content based on their audience? I'd like to hear your opinion about that.
I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm not a motivational speaker, but I definitely think that, create. You know what they say about loving the things you do, then you'll never have to work a day in your life. Mm-hmm. If you're creating content for, I think you need to love it. You need to love the content you do. I love Uganda. Mm-hmm. I love everything about Uganda. So I'm happy to share this with the audiences, right? And you have to love Uganda or be interested in investing in Uganda or a specific sector to listen to my podcast, right? However, it has morphed. It started out as a marketing podcast. And then along the way, I started getting requests of like CEOs or managing directors to be hosted on my podcast. So then I pivoted to have more than one segment. So I have on sectors, on marketing, and on reports, just to cater for the guests that would come onto the podcast. But the content remained the same. It was pretty much about achieving a middle-class economy. So I think if you then change strategy and produce for the audiences, it might work. But if you don't love it, then people will hear it through your voice. So I think you probably should focus on what you love and, delve more about that, or, dive deeper into that topic, as opposed to finding what people love. And then, if you change something else, then they're probably not interested. I don't know. But I think
I totally understand.
Not knowing what you want for you.
So basically, whatever the podcaster is deciding to run with their podcast, they should love it.
Yeah.
So the scenario where you gave, you started as a marketing platform and then you morphed into a platform that talks more with the interviews of CEOs and middle-class entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
But it caters to the goal of trying
to get.
So the point is, it doesn't matter how you get there, as long as you get there. So if the goal is to create a well-informed people with about culture. So if you started with talking about different cultures and then you dive into talking about history of cultures, as long as it's servicing your goal.
Yeah.
Of trying to educate people on culture.
Yeah, then what? Maybe one of
whatever way you go, it's okay. I'm trying to make sure we got your explanation.
Yeah, maybe 100%. Also one thing I need to mention is be agile. You don't have to be so stuck up on the same vision that didn't work in the first place.
Mm-hmm. So be flexible.
Be willing to change and be flexible. Learn a few things. If it doesn't work, like I mentioned, I keep saying that podcast data is really, it really should fuel your decision making. If something is not working for a while and you've tested and run with it, let it go. Or run by it until you make it happen. Otherwise, the stats we get from this medium, you don't get from TV, you don't get from radio, you don't get from any other apart from digital. So you have this medium to work for you. So if it's not working, please change it. If it's working,
change it. that's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And guys, like I told you, she's an expert in strategy, communication, and also she's a 6-year-old child in podcasting. And some of us are just like 2 months old. So you see, listen and learn.
There.
But that is not all about Patricia. She also loves hers. Brings me to the question I was going to ask earlier. Do you have a podcast for horses? Just to talk about horses and games. And
not.
Why?
I feel like I have too many things that I do. I need to focus on a few. But yeah, one of my personalities is a horse rider. I call myself a Ugandan equestrian, but I feel like I should start a podcast on sports people in general. Yeah, if you look at the podcast stats on sports listenership, there's a lot of people who are pretty much interested in sports in
In
general,
sports.
as opposed to yeah, horse riding or horse disciplines. So I think that would be
Well,
something I would
we
work with
could
another
actually be your disciples
person.
and your teachers, virtual training on how to ride a horse.
Exactly.
And
Yeah.
we can turn it into an African thing. Whenever you feel down or feel depressed, go on to Patricia and let her ride you through the horse.
Oh
She
yeah.
would ride it with you. It's been amazing having you on this,
So
and thank you so
good.
much sharing your knowledge
I'm so
and giving us
glad.
some points and tips and strategies on how to connect with the audience, how to stay authentic with the goal and vision of starting the podcast in the first place. And the most important thing, love what you do.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was a pleasure being here.
It's amazing. Thank
I
you.
hope
Thank
the
you so
audiences
much.
take one thing. One thing is
If you
just
don't take anything, just remember Patricia loves horses, and she tells you if you don't love what you're talking about, don't talk about it at all.
yeah,
Because
and get your content right. Get your content
exactly.
right. It will pave the way for new opportunities.
Oh, and she also said pay attention and leverage on relationships and AI. They can help you a lot in these instances. Or like a lot of us who started earlier, we did a lot of experimenting, try and error, cracking videos, phones, and others. We started with what we got. But you have a lot of things you have working for you. Free tools, free AI tools, free online tools, free. People just come and have YouTube content and how to start a podcast, what to say. You have a lot of resources. Leverage.